It is a good slate. And you know, you mentioned a while ago, I know some of our racer fans want to dismiss mid-major and use that budget term on some of these programs. And I understand that. But per what Lindy and I have identified over the years as the suitor conference, when you can fill up your schedule with teams that would make a great league.
Yes.
When your preseason schedule
is tougher than your league, and this one is,
that's all you can do to prepare your club. You know, I think we had to come to terms a couple of years ago with what it's going to be like with the selection committee. You know, the standard has sort of been set. You're going to have to win them all, literally, to be able
to be considered, no injuries.
You know, for an at-large, but. The end game here for a long, long time has been win the OVC tournament, and they've got a schedule both non and conference play related that will put them in position to do that.
Yeah, and try to hang a banner along the way and get a championship regular season.
And that's one thing, and I hope, and I wish that at some point that's one thing the NCAA would do in terms of selecting its field. You know, they've guaranteed the conference champion, the NIT. The regular season champion deserves the NCAA guarantee.
Nah.
If you want to give another bid to a tournament team, that's fine. But you win your league, you ought to be going to the dance.
Yeah, they just need to do away with these conference tournaments. Just do away with them.
It saved Lindy all the angst
it's
over
just
municipal
kinda
anyway.
Just they're all, it's, you know. Just let everybody in the NCAA tournament if you're going to have conference tournaments, basically what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So just to start the NCAA tournament, don't even call it a conference tournament.
But that that notion of winning the league, I know that's something since you were a little boy.
That needs to be done.
It's been
the
deal.
Yeah, either that or host it like we say, keep beating it, you know, keep beating that same – you know, same thing over and over and over, but it's just obvious you got to give them more than an advantage of going to the other team's hometown playing.
Well, this year, speaking of tradition, will this year take it to 30 straight winning seasons? I think we're about there. Yeah.
I mean, that non-conference schedule is daunting there, but, you know, we could get on a row because we got some good players. But I think we're going to keep that going for sure. And I think there's going to be a West title for sure.
That's a number, 30 straight winning.
Yeah, that is. That's a big number. That's something that, I mean, I just love keeping that going. That's so important to our program.
I think it's fourth longest.
Shows our history, and then, you know, it gets mentioned so much, and it's with the schools that you're mentioned with. It's a very neat deal.
When you look at this roster, and I'm not going to even use the word X factor because I think you know, Stark is the guy we've talked about, his importance. The bigs obviously are huge. In terms of a player that you look at him and you say, man, this guy, if it all fits together, has tremendous upside to be an all-league caliber talent. Is there anybody like that we wouldn't necessarily see?
You know, the only one is almost Jalen Dupree. I mean, and I've already built him up pretty big, and I don't know if he could be all-league as a freshman or not, Travis, that would be asked. But we've had guys do it before. Right. But he's the guy that is going to be all-league one day.
Our show bracketologist, Barry Pascal,
yes,
giving us some insight in terms of the schedule. Illinois State, Middle Tennessee, Green Bay, Ole Miss, South Dakota State, Evansville, all ranked higher in the Sagarin than any OVC team last year.
There you go. Thank you, Barry P.
It's good to have the big guy listening.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I think he got the he went with me one day too. You know, there is certain people that I have to make sure that I get their opinion before I start going on the air.
Yeah, well,
and he's one of them.
Got to get the suitor conference.
We've had a breakfast or two back there in that booth at the Hungry Bear too, Travis.
I'd love to know what that booth needs to be wired. That should be the suitor studio, right? We'll just close it in.
That's right.
Put some mics in there, and we might just have to go live there.
That'd be good. I'm sure Todd would like that too.
That way, you'd never have to worry about whether or not you're going to be late. Lindy, I know his breakfast order now. We know how he gets it started.
Mm-hmm.
I know what amps him up and gets him ready. But nothing does it quite like the excitement of seeing a club. And I know. You know, and this is the thing for you and for so many great racer fans is you love your team all the time, but it I mean, you know, you're competitive.
I mean, no,
you want to play for championships. Yeah, and it does something to you when you think, yeah, we got a shot at that.
I mean, I'm excited. I mean, you know, that's I don't know. I might be wrong, but I'm fired up. Last year, I think if we played this show right now, I don't think you would hear me being as optimistic.
Well,
I thought the chance was there.
Yeah.
It was a rebuilding year. There was so much going on. Yeah. But we got a lot of pieces in place right now. Now, I think the key to the success, believe it or not, is going to be how the backup guards do. I think the bigs are, you know, this is unusual.
Right.
This is kind of a flip-flop.
Right.
You know, we got three solid guys, you know, with Bryce and Croker and Jonathan, but then it gets young. It gets inexperienced. So we got to see. Now, the good thing is that is the shooting guard position that we are maybe a little low in experience. Because if Stark goes out of the game, Bryce is shifting over to the point guard, and he's going to be a nice backup point guard. And then when you need breaks, you'll see one of them on the bench.
Yep.
But at the end of the game, you probably have both of them in together. But that's what's good. We got two starters that are actually capable point guards, and that's a good thing.
Well, and Lenny, in my head, when you talk about the youth of this basketball team, I keep hearing you talk about how much better Stark makes his teammates.
Yeah, he just makes everybody better, and that's just the big thing. That's the big difference that I see in him versus the other stars. Not saying the others didn't. They did. But this guy just really has an ability to make guys better.
And
you know what? You know what that means, too. That means the other guys respect this guy. He's making me better. He's sharing the ball. He's looking me up. He's finding me in the corner for that wide-open three. He's not going in there, you know, out of control.
And that's what I like for the young guys who, if their greatest strength is shooting the basketball.
Oh, he's going to be hard. Somebody should be open over in that corner a lot. I would expect some open threes from the corner this year.
And that's a great way to get your feet wet in this game. You know, they're not going – I mean, they're going to have on-the-job training, but they're not going to be thrown in sink or swim. You know, they got a guy here who's going to be quite a life preserver.
And it's going to be interesting to see the another thing with the anticipation of the season coming up is, you know, Matt's often mentioned several times that, you know, this is a team – last year he had to play a little bit different than the way he wanted to play. And this year he seems to think he has all the tools to play the way he wants to play. So that's going to be interesting, too, to see what just exactly is Matt McMahon's style.
And I'm interested to see how much better are some of these guys getting to play in a more natural position. So many things forced a year ago because of the lack of depth.
That's true. And, you know, I think if it's an up and down, which it looks like it's going to be up and down, I mean, you know, that should help Croker, too. And, you know, Croker's had some great moments this year, too, where he looked like he's an all-league player. So who knows? Maybe the light comes on. Maybe Croker's that guy that comes out of nowhere and makes top 10. You know, but we need a couple. You know, Terrell's – every one of them is actually capable, and that's what's good. Every one of the starting five is actually capable of – and I'm not saying Dupree being a freshman be all-league this year. He's going to be all-league. So we got five starters that are all-league type talents.
Well, I think you're building a scenario here where if these guys are as good as their talent suggests they can be, it's going to be like some of the best years we've enjoyed on this show when you said, I wouldn't trade one of our starters for any other player in the league.
Yeah, until and you know, right now I could probably make that comment, but I haven't really seen, it's still early. I haven't really.
You feel that way about your
guys. Yeah,
though.
But I wouldn't trade Stark for anybody for sure, and I'm not sure I'd trade any of my bigs, and I don't know. Well, you got the boy up at Eastern that's really good. That's the freshman up there. He'll be a sophomore this year, but I'm telling you what, he's a good player, but he's going to have some meat to go up against when they visit here.
I was thinking about DeMarcus. You know, he's been a guy who has such an ability to bring fans out of their seats.
Well, we got a lot of that. Now, that's one thing we got. We got some boys that can throw it down. So.
I think for him, though, simply being able to be a productive guy, getting the best out of DeMarcus every night for his 25, 28 minutes, whatever it may be.
That would be huge.
And that to me, Lindy, that's – that's a maturation, and some guys, I mean, you have the very rare talents that get it early in their career, but that's something that typically for most guys comes over time.
Yeah, and, you know, we've seen glimpses of it. We saw it. How about that game in Eastern Illinois last year in the first half? He totally dominated that first half of that game. So, you know, that potential's there. Maybe he's the guy. Maybe he's the guy that has the potential that comes on, and is if he can get to 80% consistency, 80%. he could be an all-league player. He just can't stay around 70, right. 75. It's got to be more consistent. 85 maybe.
Tell me what you think about Saturday, February 4th, when Belmont comes in to Murray, Kentucky.
Yeah, that'll be huge. Always is. Very good team. Don't expect anything different. Solid.
You'll need to be probably some national television cameras trained on that.
I wouldn't doubt that. I bet there will be. Yeah. I mean, I don't guess the TV stuff hadn't even got, you know, it's too early for all that. So that would be a big one, though.
But that to me, and you've talked about this a lot in terms of branding the league. If I'm working out of the commissioner's office, the moment that comes out, I got to do everything I can to get that national television audience on that game.
How long have we been on the air?
39 minutes.
39 minutes, and you had to bring up the OVC commissioner's office.
Nearly got you out of here.
I don't even want to assume anything on that. Let's just move on.
I know I get an amen out of you, though, Warren. That's got to be the branding.
Amen. Amen.
Lindy Suter, kinder, gentler Lindy Suter.
Just keep it to myself. I like Alan. This is the first year. Like I said last time I was here, our president is the chairman of the, the sports president's committee or whatever they call it, and our athletic director is the chairman of the AD. So, you know, hopefully there'll be, you know, at least there'll be, you know, be here in our
they have the voice.
They have the leadership position, so that's
well,
good.
Well, Lindy, I just, you know, we're so proud of the tradition here, and we sometimes are offended by those who have suggested that Belmont is the power of the OVC. Hey, do it a little longer there, fellas. But I think it is important to have Belmont's the respect that it carries nationally with their program. And I think it's good for the league, but you know, we've talked about. We introed the show talking about what has happened with OVC football, the way the brand has grown. And the league has to push the Racers and the Bruins. They have to.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, these two programs have to be the face of this league and create that understanding.
I bet Trump would.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, remember, last winter it was Commissioner Suter who was going to
make the OVC great again.
Well, I haven't gotten him the hat yet. We got to get the hat and the T-shirt combo for his campaign. But you have to. I mean, you have to push that brand because whether you want to use the term mid-major or mid-budget or small budget or whatever, Murray State and Belmont are two of the finest pure basketball programs.
Yeah, there's
pound for pound in the country.
Yeah, there's no question about that. They really are. And you know, I'm hesitant about calling them Belmont because I want to call them Rick Byrd U. Because once they lose Rick Byrd, I want to see what kind of program. There's the proof in the pudding right there. Now, give them credit. They've been able to keep Rick Byrd there, and they've been able to pay him huge amounts of money, and that's good. And that's really good. Lord. But when they get rid of him and they bring in another Rick Byrd, then – I'll give them all due credit. Yeah. But right now, I give most of Belmont's credit to Rick Byrd. So there's my statement.
I have to share this because this is something only now I get to enjoy.
Because when you only have 1,500 at home games, you can't really say you got a great program.
That's right.
I mean, seriously. I don't give a crap what they say. They win games because of Rick Byrd.
Now I'm getting him revved up. Yeah. See, I had to get
in. They get in there and get 5,000 and 6,000 people in that arena at Belmont and, you know, start really proving that you can get 3,000 in your hometown to an OVC tournament. Then you can start talking about being the OVC's program. When you can bankroll that tournament down there, then you can start talking about being the OVC's program, Belmont.
So there you go. Only took me 42 minutes.
That was fun.
And now that's a little Suter show for you.
There you go.
And I was going to say, see, what and of course, you guys that know Lindy and you've sat with him, you know what I'm talking about. But what you guys miss is what I get to see in terms of either the look in his eye or the look on his face. Because I'll say certain things and he'll look at me like, oh, it's just pure disgust. So I knew I'd tap the vein right there. And so, well done.
So there's my statement on Bill.
Well, and you know, where I'm going is – it's high time for the league to push its flagship.
Yeah.
Bush's flagship.
Yeah.
Equal within the league is fine. You got to treat every brother the same, now
that's,
I guess.
That's being whatever, correct.
But going out nationally with We Are the OVC, you take your program that's on the verge of 30 straight winning seasons.
Yeah, both Murray State and Belmont got such huge names. And I think even Rick Stansberry alluded to that. And I hate to bring up Western, but my goodness, what are they? He's putting together a team.
Yeah, he is.
I figured he probably would, knowing his history and his past, that he was going to have some good players. So,
but you know what? He has.
But he throws out a lot of respect Murray State's and Belmont's way. I mean, he pretty much just tell their fan base, look, there's not anything. I mean, playing Murray and Belmont home and home,
well,
that's fine.
He has spoken with greater respect of Murray State than any Western coach I can remember.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. So, you know, maybe that's – well, he has a respect for the program. He was an assistant at Austin Peay. That's how he pretty much got started back when they were on probation. I shouldn't have said that.
Well, it's just the facts, man.
All
just
right,
the facts.
Move on.
But I hope, by the way, in that vein, I hope that his presence and hopefully that respect is not just lip service and we have a return to the series between Western and Murray.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. I mean, as long as we can all agree to dates that work with each other and it starts here.
Right.
I mean, it needs to start here.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can start it there next year, but this year we couldn't start it because we could, I mean, you saw that schedule.
Yeah.
On the road.
Yep.
And we don't throw them on the road there.
Right,
I mean, come on.
Right. Well, I just, you know, we've talked about it before, and I think about, you know, our fans. I think about any program's fans where they have some sort of fan base. If I'm a team that is within or around our suitor conference here, one of the most attractive draws I can bring to my home arena is Murray State Racers. I mean, I believe that.
Yeah, I do too. I really do too. I think you're onto something there. It's proven. Yeah, it's proven.
Well,
so.
Listen, your fans should want to see that level of basketball because this is going to be an NCAA tournament caliber program year in and year out in terms of being in position to get themselves to the big dance. The rest of it is, not only is that probably going to bring more of yours through the turnstiles, if you're a regional opponent of Murray State, you know Racer fans are coming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you do. You really
do. It's a great traveling fan base.
It is a great traveling fan base. It's getting harder to get traveling fan bases, though, Travis. It really is because of all the stuff that's available now to be able to watch it. You can see it all. But,
I like to think about stories you've told me about you and your dad going to Bowling Green.
Yeah, there's some real good ones there. There's some real good ones there. Sure are.
And that tradition, that should
I hope it comes back. I mean, you know, they're going to be a tough out, though. All you got to do is look at their the talent level that they're getting over there. So they're going to be reckoned with.
But that's one where if you can get it on your schedule and let's say that Stansberry continues to raise the profile of their program, if you've got that game and you can bag that win, especially when they come here, that's one you may not be able to match ordinarily.
Yeah.
Really, in terms of the quality of the opponent and the victory.
Yep. I agree. It's been a big game. I like to see the game. But like I said, it ain't going to be on their terms. It needs to be on both of us' terms, and that's.
Are you pleased? And I know sometimes it does get difficult in terms of the number of road and neutral games. But are you pleased with where the program has gotten the level of the schedule year in and year out?
Oh yeah, I think it's a good schedule. It's always amazing to me how hard that schedule is to put in. It should put together, but it just shows you there's a lot of other mid-major programs or lower budget programs or whatever you want to call it that must be having the same trouble, because you see a lot of matchups there that were similar situations where they just couldn't find home games.
Well,
and the home games are home games. I would think, and this is just my thought, I think you'll see the OVC return back and get away from the scheduling that we've got now.
Yep.
I think it's going to get back, and the reason I say that is because it's too hard to get these home and home games.
Yep.
And why not throw in a couple more, two or three more home games with OVC opponents?
Yep. Yep.
As long as you keep your other schedule. If you do that, you don't need to keep the two NAI.
Well, and see, that's
that.
Just like
– if you could replace a couple of those games with OVC games.
With the,
and it's still, you know, to get a true champion, I don't care what anybody says.
You have to play.
You got to play everybody the same schedule.
Well, and you may have seen, in conjunction with the launching of the ACC network, the ACC in a couple of years is going to expand to 20 conference games.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, I haven't seen that.
See, helping create inventory, of course, for their network.
Yep.
And, you know, that will brush away some of the, you know, the games on their schedule that were, you know, Cupcake City, Mismatch Central. And, you know, I like that thought a great deal. But I also love what you're talking about here in the non-conference. I'm glad these like programs have looked at each other and said, you know what, you're my dance partner.
Yeah.
Forget this other stuff, either getting paid to get our brains beat out or having to pay somebody we're going to kill. Let's play each other. Mm-hmm. You know, let's make sure there may not be any super high spots in our schedule, but there'll be no low spots.
Well, there's not a game in that bunch that you're going to feel bad about losing.
No.
I mean, at the top there when we get into that. I mean, you know, you've got Illinois State. Yeah, you'd be really disappointed if you lose the home game, but, I mean, a very respected program. Middle, like I said, Green Bay NCAA team, former Racer assistant coach Link Darner is the head coach there. That'll be interesting. And, you know, that, like I said, they're all top of the line. I mean, Alabama and A&M, yeah, you expect to beat them here at home. But there's nothing there that you do. And the same to them.
Yeah. Well, the rest of it is.
If Green Bay loses to Murray State,
they're
that's
great
not,
games to win.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, if you lose them or if you win them, if you don't win that tournament down there in Belmont's hometown, you don't go anyway. So you might as well get as good as you can get.
Yep.
And who cares, you know, try to win. But if you lose, it's not the end of the day, that's for sure. It just better prepares you. The old days of running up a schedule that will get you in the tournament just based on wins, I mean, it wouldn't matter. Like you said, we have to go totally undefeated to get in that large bid.
Believe it or not, you're 3 months from the season opener.
3 months away from the season opener. The football team's what? What are they at? When's the season opener at Illinois? Because it's almost here, too.
That's honest, man. That is absolutely honest. Let's pull up that Racer.
Let's go over that football schedule here right quick.
Take a look at what Coach Stu and the guys got coming for you here. They will open at Illinois on Saturday, September 3rd.
Okay, so that's coming up
inside a month.
Yeah, inside a month we're playing football.
You've got Missouri State coming to Stewart Stadium. The home opener is on September 10th. They'll go at the Salukis at Southern Illinois on the 17th. SEMO comes in on the 24th. October 1st, they're down in Clarksville to visit the Governors. A week off, the bye week on October 8th, they will host UT Martin on October 15th.
That's a game I really want to win. I'm about circling that sucker on my schedule every year on the football side. I'm ready to
beat. There you go. Lenny circled it. Need a big crowd out here for that one.
Yeah, well, a big crowd for all of them, but that one right there, I want to win that game.
October 22nd at Eastern Illinois. October 29th is homecoming against Tennessee State. November 5th is at Eastern Kentucky, and then Jacksonville State comes to Stewart Stadium on November 12th. I'll tell you what, there's another one to turn out for, because when I was a kid, when Roy Kidd brought Eastern in here, if we had a good club and they were always good, full house at the Stew.
Yeah, and that we need to take care of business before we get there, and that could end up being a huge game.
And then at Tennessee Tech down in Cookeville on November 19th to finish it off.
But that's a really good start of the season schedule right there.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a good – I mean, the thing is, we seems like we've always kind of had to wait for the barometer of really – what kind of team we got, because we've always starting out with one of the money games.
The last couple years they played two of them, and then
it's just so hard to tell. But we're gonna find out pretty quick, because Missouri State and SIU, both of those games right there, that's high level OVC. I don't know much about Missouri State's team, but SIU's been good here for. I'm just glad to get that football game. Talking about a game back on the schedule, that game right there. I mean, that's a game.
Yeah, that's a Sooner football conference game.
I like that game. Yeah. I always like that game. That's a good barometer.
Yep. Good test. What if there was a Sooner conference, by the way? How great would that be?
It would be a heck of a conference, because
Commissioner Sooner.
I would be the commissioner
Goodness
of it.
Gracious.
You would be the associate commissioner. Barry P. would be in charge of the scheduling. We'd have, I guess, Neil would be a,
he'd be the voice of the conference.
He'd be the voice of the conference. Let's see.
What a plan.
We
need to get back in the booth and just work that out. We just get that fixed up for everybody.
Oh, me.
By the way, we've, in my absence, my vacation, some of my equipment has disappeared from the studio. So if this got recorded, and I hope that it will have, I have a good trusted friend on the case, then we will certainly have this on the board for people tonight. I think we will have had several listeners this morning, but I have a feeling Racer Nation will have wanted to hear the last address from the commissioner.
The last address from the commissioner.
Maybe we should get you some hats and shirts that just say the commissioner.
The commish. It's all right, Travis. I could probably do that.
Yeah. How about before you go? How about a recruiting update?
Going good. Of course, we're in on some good guys right now. If you follow on Twitter, you can pretty much keep up with it. I keep preaching to people out there. If you really want to keep up with recruiting, Twitter is the place to be.
Yep.
I mean, either and the Racer Fans message board is a pretty good place too. I mean, a lot of stuff pops up under recruiting on that, and that's an interesting place to go to during the season. I think it's racerfans.com. It's just a little message board where fans can, you know, sometimes be really good fans, and sometimes they can be really bad fans.
Sometimes humanity escapes
yes,
there.
Yes, it does, but that's just part of it. That's part of it this day and time, unfortunately, really. But, yeah, it's been fun being back, but recruiting's good. I think we got a visit from Tevin Brown with a hot prospects from down in Mobile, Alabama. I think he's coming in here in a couple, 2 or 3 weeks, so that'll be our first visitor. He had a big summer. He's a real good – he's a scorer, can really shoot the ball. I think he's ranked number 7 in the state of Alabama, so that's really good. Of course, South Alabama's on him hard. UAB's on him hard. Arkansas, Little Rock's on him hard. And we're really in there pretty good with him too. So I think that'll be an early one to watch. Clatrell Pope, the kid that we got the commitment from a couple of years ago, is now in his sophomore year I think he switched to a junior college over here in Southern Illinois. Played down for Brett Campbell last year, 6'8", very athletic kid, would really benefit from a Division I weight coach.
Yeah, he's been
time.
A thin but, kid.
Yeah, he's yeah. A thin, he's still a thin kid. That happens sometimes when they have to go the JUCO route. It'll be interesting to see how we do there. We're in on a freshman from down in Orlando, surprise, surprise. That's about a 6'8 kid that has really put up some huge numbers this summer. I think he led the circuit out there in Vegas with about 13 rebounds a game. But, again, strong competition for this kid. Another kid that we're recruiting out of South Carolina. I don't really for sure I know how to pronounce his last thing. I think it's Morat or something like that. Big-time score, South Carolina just offered him this week. Hopefully we can get a visit out of him. But, we've probably narrowed it down to about 15 guys right now, Travis. And it'll just see who we can come in and get for the visits and get the commitments. But I'm looking for a point guard maybe. And maybe a big or two. And we got Javen Johnson, I think, that might be scheduled for a visit, too. He's another top 10 kid out of Alabama, a really good player.
You heard Lindy use the same word or the same phrasing on so many of these players, strong competition for them.
Yes.
And in some ways, of course, you go, oh, man, I wish. But here's the thing. You don't want guys that nobody else wants. You know that the Racers are on tremendous talent when you hear the list of these other schools pursuing them.
And what you got to do is you got to get a couple of you got to get a couple of them early, because Jalen Dupree was one of those kids we signed early last year that was a big time early signee. I mean, he's top notch.
Well, more of those great Racers we hope on the way, but I think Lindy has certainly set the table for you this morning. Lots and lots of reasons for excitement for Racer basketball as they draw closer to the 2016-2017 season. We hope you guys will continue to read the great publication that Lindy and his staff have been putting together now for 2 decades. The Racer Insider will be chronicling all of these journeys. And, of course, Lindy's Twitter account, at Racer Insiders, is a lot of fun because, again, he's going to keep you updated on the recruiting and a lot of different things. And on occasion, I think it's probably less frequent now than it was, but you will see him open a vein on Twitter, and it doesn't get any better than that. When the commissioner gets emotional
Let's
on Twitter.
Let's hope we don't have very many of those. I'm really trying to do better. But the good thing is that when you don't see something like that from me, you got to assume that everything's going pretty good.
Yeah, that's right. Birds of a feather in here in the studio, though. You never know.
Never know.
You never know.
Never know.
Bumpy ride, but a fun ride, and yep. And good stuff, and always good to have my friend back. He's invited back anytime he wants, obviously, but he'll be back in his post on Monday mornings regular as the racers get ready to start that season, which, again, as we shared with you, just 3 months away from the start of the season. My friend, commercial free with no help. We have killed another hour.
Wow.
I'll let you get to the rest of your day, but give us that signature sandwich.
Well, I'm going to first say let's fill up that Sturt Stadium. Let's get this football off to the right start, and let's have a big season there. I am excited about that season, and let's get these high school teams, everybody get in behind them and support them too. And for my eighth graders out there this Thursday night.
Well, it's a big one.
It's a big one for them, and I'm anxious to go watch them play. And good luck to you guys. I know you're not listening.
You can hear the podcast later.
You can hear the podcast later, but that should be a fun night. It's always fun. Nothing like Friday nights and nighttime. And
Thursday night, they're at Ty Holland, right?
Yeah, Thursday night, Ty Holland. I think the eighth graders are. And I guess Callaway's starting their middle. They got a good middle school team, too. They got a good eighth grade team, too. Don't want to slight them. I just have a little connection with these kids because I coached them. So, that'd be a fun game. If you're just itching to go out and watch something, Murray Mayfield eighth grade game is actually very entertaining.
Yeah, it's time to go watch football. Yeah, it's here.
It is.
Signature sign off, my friend.
Go Racers.
Go Racers, ladies and gentlemen. We'll let Lindy get to the rest of his day. We'll get you guys to a commercial timeout. So when we come back, lots to do in an hour or two here on 1340 WNBS.